Case number 12-3009. United States of America v. Ignacio Leo Garcia, also known as Canelo, also known as Ceruto, appellant. Ms. Menendez for the appellant, Mr. Levy for the appellee.
Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. I've reserved 2 minutes for rebuttal. I represent a gentleman named Ignacio Leo Garcia, who is charged as a member of the FARC, which, as the court, I believe, is aware, is a left-wing paramilitary organization that has been fighting the government of Colombia for 30, 40 years. He was alleged to be the financial leader of a front. A front is a unit within the FARC, within an area of Colombia known as Arauca. Arauca is on the northwest, landlocked kind of a state. It borders Venezuela. This is the second FARC case that I've tried, second case that I take up on appeal. In the previous case, U.S. versus Celis, the court recognized the difficulties of prosecuting these cases. Mr. Leon Garcia is not alleged to have ever set foot in the United States, is not alleged to have ever had a conversation with anyone in the United States. He's charged with conduct in Colombia, which, in order to prove him guilty, the government had to prove that he had the specific intent that the cocaine was intended to arrive in the United States or would arrive in the United States. The government presented the testimony of 8 what we call reinsertado witnesses. These are witnesses who were formerly FARC members who, under a FARC program, can turn, if they're arrested or they turn themselves in, get the protection of the government, get a new identity, get money, that type of thing. In order to enter the program, they provide statements, in some cases under oath, although that's not the documents that were produced to us, statements to Colombian authorities in which
When were those documents produced to you?
They were produced to us with intent to a week before trial.
Okay.
The government.
And you somehow claim that there was something amiss with that, that that's a late?
The government identified them as Jenks materials because they claimed they were witness statements. None of those documents, not a one of them, identified our client as the financial leader of this front. All these people claim to have been members of this front.
So you don't claim that they were somehow tardy in turning these over to you?
Well, we think they were Brady. They were favorable to us because they all took the stand and they all said he was a financial leader
period. What I'm trying to get is how soon after the government obtained these did they turn them over to you?
We don't know. But our position is, whenever they started investigating this case was, I believe, indicted years before it was tried, I think in 2005. As soon as they interviewed these witnesses, and it was sooner than when they produced the documents, that's for sure, and when none of these documents identify our client, my client, as a financial leader, and that's the key here, because not all members of the FARC are guilty of this crime, which is a United States crime. It's not against the law in the United States for Colombians to deal in cocaine within Colombia or to ship Colombia anywhere else in the world. It's only if it comes to the U.S. that it becomes a federal matter. So the moment they saw those documents, and not a single one of those documents said anything about our client being the financial leader involved with cocaine, those documents should have been produced to us. That was the evidence against our client. That and another, there was a whole lot of documents they had produced earlier of a cooperating witness who had been arrested 10 or 12 years earlier.
To prevail on the Brady claim with respect to these documents, you'd have to show that there's a reasonable probability that the result would have been different.
The jury never learned that none of these people had given statements in which none of them had identified our client as a member of the finance offer. Because when we went to impeach or refresh recollection, the government objected. The judge said, they're not business records. They weren't signed under oath, although the documents stated that they were subject to prosecution for making false statements. So we weren't able to impeach with these documents, or worse, at times the witnesses would say, oh yes, we told the Colombians about your client. And then we were left there having to accept their statements. What we need, if this had been a case in the United States, I would have subpoenaed or brought into court the DEA agent who would have taken that statement. I would have put him on the stand, and I would have said, did he tell you? Did you not write it down? Then I could have impeached. But at that point, we asked that the government stipulate that these were business records. They did not. We asked that the trial be continued so we could bring the Colombian authorities. These were under judicial police of, these were formal documents in Colombia. We asked that the court continue the case so we could bring these witnesses, these Colombian authorities in, so we could impeach these witnesses. The court said, no, you've known about this. I said, no, we didn't know about them until they took the stand. Because when we got the documents 10 days to a week before trial, what we knew is it said nothing about our client being the financial chief. So we had no reason to believe we would need these documents to impeach these witnesses. Until they took the stand and said otherwise, these documents were favorable to us. And that's why we also say it was Brady. And had we been told earlier on, these documents were, these statements were made, they did not implicate your client, but these witnesses are going to take the stand, at that point, we would have asked to bring, we didn't even need the person who took the statement. We just needed a Colombian authority to say, these are normal business records kept in the normal course of business. We believe these documents are given under oath from other cases. This is a formalized program. It's sort of a witness protection program. We believe from other cases that they're given under oath. We believe even from this, we didn't receive all the documents at all times. And I'm not suggesting that the government withheld some documents. I don't know what they got from Colombia or didn't get from Colombia. But I'm just suggesting that we didn't get a full, we didn't get what we would have gotten if this was the United States.
Did you make any effort to get a hold of a Colombian authority?
We didn't even know who, no, not in the middle of trial, because at that point we had no way of, the court would not grant a continuance, and we had no way.
You say in the middle of trial, you got these before trial, I mean, relatively soon before trial. But
correct, but at the time we got these documents, they were not, they did not implicate our client in any drug trafficking. So those documents were fine, perfect. If the witnesses had testified in accordance with those documents, we would have been in great shape. But they didn't.
You used these documents to attempt to impeach the witnesses, though, right?
Right. We used them. One person admitted that she had not said what she said on the stand. Another person, two or three of them said, oh, no, of course we told these people. So it was worse. We were left with them claiming that they had made consistent statements before trial with no ability to confront the witness with these statements. We tried to get them in under a hearsay exception, you know, under the catch-all exception, under business records, under just the theory that you should not allow a witness to take the stand and testify falsely, in our view.
Tell me about these reports. As I understand it, these were summaries at a very high level of generality, right? I mean, these were attempts to be comprehensive, isn't that right?
Well, this is part of the reports. Some of the reports were lengthy, were, you know, 70-something pages long and were very detailed. Some were not. Mm-hmm. I know Judge Hogan summarized them in that fashion. I would ask the court, if the case is going to turn on that you review these documents. Because the point is, even if they were generalities, the question was, who was the financial officer? They would identify other people and not identify our client. Or who were your supervisors? And the testimony was, if they were a financial officer, they would be supervisors. Who were your supervisors? Identified others and not our client. So you didn't really need a lot of specificity. We weren't even claiming that, you know, the details. We were claiming the whole thing. Just the idea that this client, you know, these are very difficult cases. My client has a fourth grade education. It's impossible for us to investigate this. This is an area of Colombia that is, according to the testimony, populated by the army, by the FARC, which is a left-wing paramilitary organization, by the AUC, which is a right-wing, and its successors, which is a right-wing. It's an armed camp. It's in the middle of the jungle. There's no way to investigate it. You're trying these cases in a foreign country. There's no allegation in this case that our client talked to anybody. And we are handcuffed. It's just not fair. It's very difficult to try these cases. It's just not fair to a defendant. And this is a case where the case was mounted on the false statement of a cooperator who got caught in a sting operation in Florida trying to purchase guns, trying to exchange guns for drugs, and told the agents in Florida that he had received $100,000 from our client a week before trial.
Your time, you're well into your rebuttal time and over your total time. We'll give you a couple minutes back.
Thank you, Your Honor.
But let's hear from the government.
May it please the court, my name is Michael Levy. I represent the United States. I'd like to.
When were these statements taken?
The statements were taken when the individual reinsertado witnesses left the FARC as part of the program. So they were taken many years.
When did the government first have them?
The record on that is the representation of the trial AUSA at the trial when this came up, that they were requested by the government in an abundance of caution shortly before trial from the Colombian authorities. There was no requirement that the government obtain them. They weren't, in fact, Jenks material. But the government went out of its way to obtain
them. Why weren't they Jenks material?
Because they weren't the statements of the witnesses themselves.
What about the Brady argument?
The Brady argument fails for precisely that reason, that the government, far from suppressing anything, went out of its way to obtain something that it had no obligation to obtain, promptly turned it over in advance of trial with all of its other Jenks material. And so these materials that there was no requirement to obtain at all. The complaint here is that the government went out of its way, if anything, to get these materials.
How we write an opinion, you don't think the government has an obligation to try to seek this kind of information when it knows about it? In other words, notes or typed reports of witness statements given in other countries?
In all candor, I don't think the government has an obligation. I think the government in many circumstances will do exactly what it did here, which is go off and try to find these things and produce them to the defense because it can be helpful to the defense, and we're in favor of making as much available as possible. I don't think there's anything that could be pointed to that puts an obligation on the government to go and get these materials. But the government did so here.
Even though there could be exculpatory information in.
There could be, but the law is clear that the government doesn't have to act as an investigator and seek out exculpatory information and hand it over to the defense. If the government comes across exculpatory information, of course we have to hand that over under Brady. And of course we have to hand over any witness statements that are in our possession. These are not even witness statements, but they fall, once in our possession, they fall along the same lines as FBI 302s, which also are not direct witness statements. They're the statements of the author. In this case, the government handed them over a couple of weeks before trial, and I think what's important to note is that it is not as though every witness in this case testified on the first day of trial. This was a several-week trial, and so really a large amount of time was available to the defendant to do whatever the defendant wanted to do with these reports. I think this case compares, from the defense perspective, fairly unfavorably with Celis, in which the materials at issue there were handed over, I believe, 7 days before cross-examination. The defense made a request to be put in contact with the Colombian authorities who had taken the statements. The court approved that, and that happened. And this court said that was fine and no further continuance was needed. Here, the reports were handed over further in advance, 14 days or so before trial, and that's many more days before some of these witnesses testified. No effort, so far as the record reveals, was made to ask the government to put the defense in contact with the Colombian authorities. This could have been handled, perhaps, by getting the note takers, the report authors up here. Could have been handled, perhaps, with a stipulation that these were accurate if there had been more investigation into how they were created. But none of that was done. So for that reason, the continuance idea is without merit. On top of that, I should note that the continuance is being portrayed as having been asked for to allow the defense to bring the report authors up to New York to testify. That is not the way it was requested. If Your Honors look back at the transcript itself, at the time that this came up, what was asked for was a continuance more generally to go conduct an overall investigation of these witnesses behind FARC lines in Colombia. This is a mid-trial request that the proceedings stopped for an overall investigation. It was not the much more narrow continuance that is sought here. And in fact, there was no reference to bringing the authors of these reports here. That just wasn't what the continuance was asked for.
Can you talk about the chain of custody questions that have been raised by the defendant with respect to the video and the printouts? And in particular, I guess that you don't dispute the proposition that although chain of custody questions go to weight rather than admissibility in some situations, that in other situations it can go to admissibility if it's a significant enough issue.
If it's a significant enough issue, of course, there is district court discretion and it can be abused. It was not abused here. There was a break in the chain of custody, but it was a relatively narrow break. And
of several days, right, with the video?
Of several days with the video, with an explanation, first of all, with the original link in place, because the witness, as opposed to, I think it's the Mejia case, where there was no original link, the original link here was in place because the witness testified he was present standing shoulder to shoulder with the officer who recovered this video in the middle of active military operations. At that point, he sees the testimony is that he sees the video bagged up, and when as soon as the operations end, he is shown the video, sees it, and testifies in court that what is played for the jury is precisely the same as what he saw. So there is that gap in there. For sure, the defense can argue as to weight that this could have been altered, but as Judge Hogan pointed out, there was no indication at all that it had been altered. And there was a perfect explanation for the gap. It's not like there was something that had been done wrong or that there was, you know, something had been signed out wrong or there was something missing. It was all explainable. So in that circumstance, to say that it was an abuse of discretion to let the jury consider this evidence, the government submits is wrong. And the same is true of the printout. Again, we have the initial link firmly in place. The prosecutor who himself discovered the laptop showed up. Let me back up for 1 second to the video. I should also note the video didn't itself show anybody engaged in any drug dealing. It showed FARC activities like loading a mortar and then showed a series of still images of individuals who were in the FARC. This defendant never contested from the opening statement that he was in the FARC. So even if this was an abuse of discretion, it was clearly harmless because it did nothing other than prove what he had already conceded. It didn't show anything about drug trafficking. Turning to and I should also note that there were the corroborating circumstances that the witness recognized everybody on this tape. So it's not as though we're talking about a scrap of paper from a wallet, as in Mejia, where nobody could say.
All of which goes to harmlessness as opposed to...
I think it also goes to the admission of the evidence and the government's proof that this was what the proponent of the evidence offered it as. There's a chain of custody, but on top of that, in Mejia, this court said, there are corroborating circumstances that can show on top of that that it is what the proponent offered it as. With respect to the printout, again, the first link is there. The prosecutor found the laptop. The laptop was out of his possession only when he gave it to a forensic unit to make the printout and then got it back. And he testified in court that what was being introduced was what he got back from the forensic unit. On top of that, there was, again, the corroborating testimony of a confidential informant who said that he recognized certain items in this printout.
Was that Mr. Munoz?
I think it was Mr. Garzon, if I remember correctly, who was a confidential informant, not a FARC member, but had been working for the Rios organization that the FARC was working with to distribute cocaine or to manufacture cocaine and then export it from Colombia. And he said that he recognized certain of the rules in the printout as being rules that he and the defendant, or that the defendant had originated and that the witness had participated in creating. So there was this additional corroborating detail. Given that, again, it's not an abuse of discretion for the district court to have allowed this in.
What was the period of time between when the confidential witness had first seen the documents and then later said those are the same, or I think he said, I suppose they're the same? There's a significant gap in time.
Oh, I think it's years, for certain. I think he was the he had been actively participating with the Rios organization, I think, right up until the operation that seized the laptop. In fact, I think he was the one who gave the tip that led to the operation that seized the laptop. And that was, in fact, years before his testimony in court. I don't know, and I don't know if the record reflects when he first told the government in some prep session or some interview that he recognized the documents. But certainly there was a length of time there.
Okay. I think you're past your time. So
okay. Thank you. The government will rest on its brief.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Levy. We'll give you back 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, I hesitate to say this, and I understand the prosecutor present here was not trial counsel, but much of the recitation of the facts is just plainly inaccurate. With respect to what we requested in order to use those documents, we've not only set out all the arguments I made today, but we filed a motion, document 381, in which we set out all the different requests that we were making. And we've asked for the government to stipulate. We asked for the court to allow us to use the documents to fully impeach. We asked for a continuance of the trial. We asked for the government to bring up somebody, either the person who took the witness statements or who could testify that they were taken in the normal course of business. These documents, these interrogations in Colombia of these witnesses is made pursuant to a Colombian statute which requires an official to take a statement and which says that statements that are lies are subject to prosecution. So we believe they were, in fact, witness statements, and they should have been sought out by the government. They were, in fact, the witness statement, and they should have been allowed to be used as impeaching in that fashion. With respect to chain of custody, completely inaccurate. The person who testified was Arrain Certado, unlike Mejia, which was a DEA agent, who said he was there for, his testimony was back and forth, but he said he was there, and he didn't see the video until 3 days later. So 3 days passed between the time it was seized and the time he claimed to have seen it. So it wasn't momentary as in Mejia. Our client's image in the video was a spliced photograph inside a video. The only person who was spliced in was our client. So yes, there is reason to believe there's something wrong with this video. We sought to introduce 4 photographs, completely innocuous. The government introduced the army of the FARC, our client with the spliced photograph, 4 photographs of our client in civilian clothes, because our defense was that he was a civilian militia, and according to the testimony, those people would wear uniforms from time to time, and that as a civilian militia, he could not have been.
Okay, thank you. I think we have your argument. Let me ask you a question. I don't believe you filed a reply brief.
I did not.
In this case. It's a general matter that those are helpful to us, and we like more argument rather than less. But Ms. Hernandez, you were appointed by the court to represent the appellant in this case, and we thank you for doing so.
Thank you, Your Honor. On the photograph, can I submit the 4 photographs that were excluded that we believe violated the client's right to present a defense? They're not in the materials before the court. We just would like to submit that.
You can submit them. We'll take it under advisement as to whether we'll accept them.
Thank you, Your Honor.